The 12th Annual Excellence in Partnership Awards is October 26th at the Crystal Gateway Marriott in Arlington, Virginia. The Excellence in Partnership Awards honor those who have excelled at promoting partnership in government procurement. A special tribute to Mythbusters for those who embody effective communication between government and industry. Come celebrate at this special event for the government contracting community and the Multiple Award Schedules program. Register now for the Excellence in Partnership Awards at eipawards.com.
Get the latest news on over 90 different agencies. Check out federalnewsradio.com's new agency page for the news most important to you. Find it at federalnewsradio.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Todd Tompkins, Vice President of Sales for the U.S. federal government for a company called Micro Focus. Good morning, Todd. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you, John. I appreciate you having me this morning.
Well, I hope you got a wheelbarrow full of information here, because we're going to talk about a wheelbarrow big topic, this huge big topic of migration and migrating systems from old stuff to new stuff. And that's what Micro Focus is all about, helping the federal government save money in this big category of migrating systems. But first, before we get all the dirty details with your company, tell us about your background and how you wound up working for Micro Focus, and maybe a little about why you chose them to work for. Hmm?
Absolutely. My title is Vice President for Federal Sales and Operations. I've been with Micro Focus for about 2 years. I've recently been on the board of directors and am a corporate officer for the Micro Focus U.S. subsidiary. I've been in the IT business for about 20 years, most notably at Microsoft Federal and also EMC's Federal Software Division.
Oh, great. Two big companies. And you wound up with Micro Focus about 2 years ago?
I did. I looked at the opportunities that existed out there in the federal space and wanted to make sure that what I did mattered, not only to myself, but to the country as well. And I looked at the opportunity to make an impact on what was happening in the country from a fiscal standpoint, as well as from an IT standpoint. So that was just an opportunity I could not pass up.
You know, if you fire up your Google machine and you type in microfocusfed.com, you get more information on the company. Kind of a well-kept secret. I didn't know the company's been around for 30 years, has 18,000 customers, has 2 million licensed users. Where you guys been? Been hiding somewhere?
It's certainly amazing, John. If you think back to the history of the corporation, we were originally known for Micro Focus COBOL, of which we earned about 85% market share. From there, it morphed into off-mainframe development and testing. And then from there, it took a step even further into legacy application migration. And while that's maybe perhaps not the most sexy thing in IT, it's certainly absolutely critical. And as we get to this juncture in the federal IT environment where these legacy systems continue to be out there and we're having challenges trying to move to more traditional methods like ERP or rewrite of applications, this is resurfacing as something that's critical because of the low cost, the low risk, and the quick time to value that our solutions present.
And I think that's key. I mean, everyone listening to this interview right now knows that their agency's funding is going to be cut back. So someone's going to put the shoulder to them and say, okay, Todd, you got to do more with less. What are you going to do this year? And there are some, you know, big, huge projects that are out there. But I think this is one of the unsexy, practical, down-to-earth applications that can save money quickly. And we'll get more into what agencies you folks have worked with and how you've actually saved money. So Micro Focus, the company throughout the world, it focuses on developing, testing, deploying, assessing, and modernizing enterprise-level software.
Absolutely. So the interesting part about that is the time for our solution set is right now, because not only is government faced with how do I do things more quickly with less cost, but they also have to do it with low risk and to position themselves for the future. Our solution set, and we'll get into a little bit about the specific solutions later, but position you for the future in a couple respects. Number one, cloud computing is obviously a huge topic within government. If you have a legacy application that you need to modernize and to get prepared to go into the cloud, we are that first step towards enabling that cloud sort of solution. We also will prepare to be so prepare you to be so enabled. And then finally, also mobile device enabled as well. So as the government takes that step forward, not only are you cutting IT debt for that legacy system that Gartner speaks of so clearly, but also you are preparing yourself for the future.
You know, I'm an old geezer, and I know what COBOL is, but there may be listeners here who are under 60 years old and have never heard of COBOL. Maybe give us a little quick 30-second synopsis of where COBOL originated, where it's used, and the preponderance in the world today of COBOL.
So there's been quite a bit of discussion around how COBOL might be dying, and what quickly becomes apparent is that, in fact, it's not. It's alive and well and actually growing in terms of a number of lines of code. The average American runs into COBOL about 13 different times a day, every day. And the criticality of it is it was a business program language that captured business rules incredibly well. So well, in fact, that every time they go to try and replace it with a rewrite or an ERP sort of solution, they have a difficult time capturing the business rules and the business logic that transfers to a successful migration. So they have decided to stay on COBOL and leverage those decades of business rules and IP that made that application so successful for those decades.
It's kind of like a diesel motor. You know, I once had a diesel motor car and had 100,000 miles on it. Asked a mechanic if I should drive it to the Midwest. He said, drive to the Midwest, you can drive it to California and back. I mean, 100,000 miles is nothing. I had 280,000 miles on that car, and the motor was still running great. Kind of like COBOL. If it works, if it's efficient, I mean, it's what's the statistics? I think something like 90% of the daily financial transactions in the world today take place on COBOL.
Absolutely. So the big verticals that we excel in, because of the size and the complexity of those applications, are number one, financials, number two, healthcare, and number three, specific to the government, logistics.
I hear big, enterprise level. I mean, in the commercial world, that is huge, big amounts of information. Big, and business critical. It's not just what's your favorite flavor of ice cream. It's a lot of financial type. Look at this number here, 90% of financial transactions in COBOL. Obviously, the federal government has 2 million employees. They do a lot of financial transactions just for their employees, but also with taxes, with military acquisitions, all kinds of different things. So a lot of folks have COBOL, and what your company is doing is not, you know, standing out on Wisconsin Avenue with a sign saying, get COBOL. What you're saying is, we know you have legacy applications in COBOL. Perhaps we can offer a leg up and help you make a transition to save money and start connecting with newer devices, maybe start moving to cloud-based applications.
Right. What we're really saying is leverage what you have. There are great COBOL assets out there. The challenge is they reside on a legacy application or platform that's enormously expensive to maintain. Again, Gartner talks to the IT debt issue. What we're suggesting is rehosting that same application without change, and in fact keeping about 97% of the code the same, moving it to a more modern platform that allows you more power, more flexibility at a much, much, much lower cost.
So if you're listening to this interview and you want to know more about COBOL, you can go to Wikipedia, you know, Jimmy Wales' little organization, and learn all about COBOL. But if you want to get more information, white papers about this company, you can go to microfocusfed.com and get white papers and maybe stumble on some interviews with Todd that he's conducted over the last few months talking about, you know, hey, saving money. Okay, if you work for an agency and you have a critical application that's written in COBOL, how can you move it to the cloud? How can you comply with, you know, the non-existing Vivek. Vivek Kundra has moved to the cloud, and this is one approach because there's some tools that you offer, and what we'll do is maybe take a little break here and come back and talk about some of the tools that your company offers. We can take a look at your applications and see if they're good candidates for making a transition and maybe developing a relationship with Micro Focus to help you start saving money this year. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Todd Tompkins, Vice President for Sales for U.S. Federal Government for Micro Focus.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Have you noticed it's getting darker earlier these days? Don't get concerned. Get Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security. Ackerman offers the latest in technology, including wireless monitoring and remote video. If you already have a system, you can switch to Ackerman's award-winning monitoring for just $18.95 a month. Just $18.95 a month. And it's free to switch. Call today and get 3 months of monitoring free. That's 888-999-1070 or online at AckermanSecurity.com.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Where did you leave it? Where could it have possibly gone? It's frustrating because you used to have your motivation with you all the time, and now, ugh. That's okay. We'll help you find it. First, let's find your reason. You know, your reason. What's that thing that makes you want to live to an age where you can say whatever you want to whomever you want, and somehow it becomes charming? Next, find your thing. What is that healthy thing you actually love doing? There's got to be one, right? Finally, go find your partner. Who's the ping to your pong? The downward to your dog? Who'll keep your butt moving and vice versa? Find all of those things. We're pretty sure your motivation will magically appear. But if you're still having trouble finding it, try looking really, really hard in the mirror. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we're here to help you find your motivation to thrive. Visit kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Government technology professionals should prepare to attend GovCom 2011, the new trade show featuring government audiovisual communication solutions at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, November 1st and 2nd. Featuring nearly 100 leading manufacturers and solutions providers showcasing the latest in audio, video, conferencing, collaboration, control systems, digital signage, and visual display technologies, GovCom will help government agencies and the military boost collaboration, enhance security, improve reliability, and cut costs. GovCom is your opportunity to see cutting-edge communications products, network with fellow technology professionals, and get valuable training from leading experts in government and industry. For more information and your free exhibits pass, visit govcom2mshow.org and use the code FED. That's govcomshow.org. GovCom is brought to you by Infocom International, the association representing the audiovisual industry.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
How can federal agencies drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for maximizing efficiency in federal programs? Join HUD Secretary Sean Donovan and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, the Efficiency Imperative, on November 17th in Washington, D.C. Register today to save 35% at www.excelgov.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Todd Tompkins. He's the Vice President for Federal Sales for a company called Micro Focus, Company been around for 30 years, 18,000 customers. They help large organizations migrate from COBOL systems to newer systems. But it's not all that easy, is it, Todd? I mean, there's a lot of commitment there. I mean, if you have a COBOL system in place for 10, 15 years, they've spent lots and lots of time developing requirements. Now you got to make this transition. You would think there'd be a lot of risk involved.
You would think so. But realistically speaking, if you look under the covers of what our solution offers, you're really not changing the code. So we're simply recompiling on a different, more modern platform. That, in essence, takes the risk away. That's why we're one of the very lowest risk sort of solutions out on the marketplace today.
What's that, the group from France, Doctors Without Borders? So you'd be COBOL without barriers. Is that your catchphrase, something like that?
It is indeed.
And so what you allow my listeners to do is make a transition to .NET or Java or Linux or Unix or some kind of a cloud environment without risk and maybe reducing costs along the way. Give me a thumbnail sketch of how that's done.
So realistically speaking, what we're doing is rehosting the application in its original form to a different platform. You can do it one of two ways. You can either migrate it off of the mainframe entirely to a server farm, Windows, Linux, Unix, your choice, or you can move it to a cheaper part of the mainframe, an IFL, an integrated partition for Linux. So from that perspective, a lot of the risk is taken out. But to ensure that our clients are successful in their migrations, we have a rigorous process that we go through to identify that risk up front and mitigate that as we go through the process.
And you see the cost savings quickly.
It's amazing. Literally, our projects are measured in months, not years. Therefore, you have the ability to, depending on when you purchase and move forward, you have the ability to realize that cost savings in year.
You know, well, one of my catchphrases is, in order to be terrific, you got to be specific. I have all kinds of silly phrases. But let's get specific. Let's talk about, let's name this as Office of Secretary of Defense. Give me an example of what you did and what happened after you took an ancient program, or what I remember, COBOL, and made the transition, the migration, maybe a step-by-step, and how you helped these folks out.
Absolutely. So we looked at their application portfolio, John, and what we did was we ranked them in terms of risk, level of effort, and some other criteria. Then we took that first application and moved it off of the mainframe entirely. The interesting part about that was, from a financial standpoint, they went from $14.5 million a year to run that single application down to $2.7.
That's money where I come from.
Almost $12 million a year for 10 years. That's quite a bit of money that can help go towards paying down the debt or funding other projects that are underfunded and behind schedule.
So if you go to Microfocus website, you find out that 91 of the Fortune 100 are using your product. I mean, it seems like it has applications for many different agencies. And I've read about where you've taken an application at the United States Postal Service and migrated that as well. And so there's a bunch of agencies you've worked for already, isn't there?
Absolutely. Basically, our business is split almost 50-50, probably a little more heavy on the Department of Defense side of the house. But we've worked with everybody from the Navy, the Air Force, some of the D agencies, as well as on the civilian side, Postal Service, Veterans Administration, Homeland Security, and those types of accounts.
And so you can help migrate to a more modern platform. Now, a more modern platform, as you said earlier, may not necessarily be a .NET platform. It may be a virtualized area of the mainframe.
That's right. We support virtualization. So in this day and age, that's critically important. Again, we're a first step in moving towards that virtualized environment. And again, it allows the client to use whatever development tools they have and what they understand. It also gives them the ability to be more powerful in terms of functional upgrades to that application as well.
Now, if I'm managing an agency and I have an application COBOL, and I'm kind of scratching my head, you know, looking around trying to figure out how I can possibly save money, what I might want to do is I may want to see how other agencies have made the transition, or maybe companies, you know, organizations outside the government, and that may be one way I can use you is invite you in and say, well, here's what I have. I have X, Y, and Z. How have other organizations made this transition? And then you may be able to profile, well, here's how they did it on Wall Street. Here's how they did it in London. Here's how they did it maybe across the street. I'd want to hear that a couple times.
Absolutely. And one of the things we talk about when we sit with our the agencies is quite simple. Don't ask us. Ask other people that are more critically involved and closer to the situation at hand. That is, go to OMB. Ask if they think it's a good use of taxpayer money. Go to Gartner Group, who Dale Vecchio does a tremendous job of covering the legacy application space. Go to your government colleagues that have already implemented this, and what they'll tell you is it's rock-solid technology that just works and delivers the financial results that we talked about up front.
You know, when I think of Gartner, I think of up-to-date information on the iPhone 4S and the weaknesses of Apple. And wait. I mean, this is so much earlier. This is so basic. This is like, well, you know, we got to maintain the car, but let's make sure the oil's changed. Let's say you have a good motor. I mean, why worry about, you know, new fashion colors? You know, the nuts and bolts are right here. Many times the savings is with the old school nuts and bolts applications that are sitting right in front of you.
Absolutely. Again, it gets back to leveraging what you have and making that better for less money. For instance, we have a tool that will allow you to go through, identify dead code, take that away to reduce the footprint of the application. It will also outline what the links are to various databases and see if they're live or not or working properly. So therefore, what you have is smaller, better, and less expensive to maintain.
Dead computer code, that doesn't exist, does it? No, I work with software developers all the time. They would agree. There's a phrase that my software developers don't use. The phrase is rehosting. I'm not familiar with that. What does that mean?
So rehosting is basically taking an application that exists on a mainframe and, in essence, forklifting it over as is to a different, more modern platform, such as a Windows server farm.
So that's what rehosting is, maybe moving to a different flavor of environment for that specific application. What about security?
Security, again, as you move the application, the security model remains pretty much intact. Obviously, there are going to be some changes, but again, it allows you to maintain that security model that you already have or that you have on the platform that you're moving to. That's part of the rigorous process that I talk about in terms of how we go about doing what we do and making sure that program is successful.
You know, many software developers talk about quality assurance and continuously improving quality. And it would seem to me that a company like Micro Focus, being involved in finance and large systems, it has to constantly take a look at how that COBOL system is working and how to improve it. And maybe when the transition takes place, if my wife and I downsize in the next 5 years, we're going to throw out a lot of junk. And I think if an organization, an agency, decides to move COBOL and rehost it, they're going to throw a lot of junk too, and maybe this is an opportunity to figure, I've never worn that coat in 5 years, or I've never used this dead code. I guess this is an opportunity to be more efficient as well.
Absolutely, and we start at the highest level to understand things like as you're trying to move towards data center consolidation or application consolidation, what do you have? It's amazing how many people don't know what they have because of the age of some of these applications. So we'll have tools that will help you understand exactly what you have, exactly how well those applications work, and exactly what needs to be fixed. So as you throw out the junk, you're throwing out cost of maintaining that application along with it.
So you're involved heavily in project management as well, I would assume.
Absolutely. The thing is, we are a software company. So we have consultants and architects that will help us run the project. But frankly, in the government, we work well with the primes because we are not a services company. We are a software company.
And so no matter what the problem is, if it involves COBOL and migration, it may be important for my listeners to avail themselves of some of the past successes you've had. And maybe if their systems fit the same profile as, for example, the Office of the Secretary of Defense, it may be worth considering how much savings they could have in the next year, not 10 years, but the next year by making the change.
Absolutely. I mean, our value proposition is quite clear and concrete. You can expect anywhere, depending on the application, from 70% to 80% cost savings. It can go a little higher, it can go a little lower, depending on the application and the platform, of course. But what we are seeing is about 80% cost reduction per application per year.
Okay, we take a break. When we get back, talk more about migrating systems from COBOL to newer systems, some of the opportunities there to save money and to mitigate risks. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Todd Tompkins, Vice President Sales, U.S. Federal Government for Micro Focus.
What is the military health system's quadruple aim? How is DOD ensuring it has a healthy and fit force? And what is DOD doing to reduce costs without sacrificing the quality of care delivered? Join host Michael Keegan on the next The Business of Government Hour as he explores these questions and so much more with Dr. Jonathan Woodson, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs within the U.S. Department of Defense.
On November 9th, the Washington region will discover a new way to give. During those 24 hours, your local nonprofits will unite to raise millions of dollars at givetothemax.org. Find and support the organizations that matter most to you in a single online location. Be on the forefront of the next generation of giving and make a difference in our communities. Give to the max. Give local. Give fast. Give smart. On November 9th at givetothemax.org.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Efforts by the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board to roll out a Roth TSP are on schedule, and the board's executive director, Greg Long, says the new plan will likely launch in the second quarter of 2012, allowing feds to invest already taxed income so it can be withdrawn without being taxed again. The original rollout was scheduled for January, but after some delays, the plan is back on track. I'm Amy Morris.
Did you know there is a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that provides life insurance at rates far less than the federal program? This nonprofit also offers a college scholarship program and has a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million in refunds to its policyholders since 1996. The company's name is WEPA. In these challenging economic times, life insurance from WEPA allows you to save your hard-earned money. Visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Department of Veterans Affairs thinks it can squeeze around $50 million from its technology budget by using hardware and software more efficiently. VA is launching what it calls its Ruthless Reduction Project. For example, employees will be given a choice of a laptop or a desktop computer, not both. VA will get rid of printers at individual employee desks and move to multifunction devices, and they'll implement more server virtualization to cut down on the physical IT infrastructure they have to operate.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
This, of course, is a big time for ghost tours in a lot of different areas. Washington Walks has a Most Haunted Homes in D.C. tour that we feature on page 20 of the October Recreation News. And down at the tip of Southern Maryland in Point Lookout State Park, they have the Spirits of Point Lookout tour, which takes advantage, of course, of all of the hauntings related to the Confederate prison camp that was down there during the Civil War. And you can find out more about that on page 38 of the October Recreation News.
People are still looking for those colorful fall leaves. I know I am. What do you have for that?
Several people told us they like to see the fall foliage is actually from the back of a motorcycle. And you can look at the ride and play packages at the Quality Inn in Harper's Ferry. It's only about 90 minutes away by car. And an interesting way to check out that fall foliage.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're talking with Todd Tompkins, Vice President, Sales, U.S. Federal Government for Micro Focus. For more information on the company, you can go to microfocusfed.com, and you'll be surprised to find out they've been around for 30 years. They're involved with very, very big projects, many times involved in finance all throughout the world, all throughout the federal government. But we're not going to talk about silly details like your company. We're going to talk about my listeners. So here's the deal. I'm an old geezer. I'm working for an agency, and I decided to move to Florida. So I put my feet up and smoke cigars and go golfing every day. And we got a youngster like Todd Tompkins who walks in, and he's kind of can't find the bathroom, and he's trying to see where the lunch places are that are close, and where's the Starbucks, and is there a metro stop near here? And you're kind of young and innocent, and so you encounter a COBOL system. Okay, and I'm sure there are listeners who maybe just stumble on them, especially the youngsters. So give me a checklist, or where are the skeletons in the closet? I mean, what would you do if you encountered the COBOL system the first time? What's the checklist? What kind of diagnostics would you do to find out even if it is a candidate to move?
So the first thing you have to do, John, is understand exactly what you have. Once you move to what that application costs, the next thing you have to do is determine what your options are. And as we walk you through the checklist of variables that determine whether or not you're a candidate, things like, you know, what is your data structure and the integrity behind that? What's the security model and those types of issues? Then you can kind of get a real clear picture of, is this a candidate or is it not? If it is, we will take you through a process of mapping out that migration so that you ensure it's very low risk. And it's very quick time to value, so you can execute better on mission and get that financial return as quickly as possible. So that's just a brief overview.
So if I'm with an agency and we have a relationship with a contractor, let's say it's ABC Contractor, and one of my checklists is bringing in the, you know, the companies we have relationships with and finding out what their skill set is, and all of a sudden I find out that they're great with Apple and maybe good with Microsoft, but maybe not too strong with COBOL. So that shouldn't prevent me from figuring out what the heck I got in the closet, should it? I mean, I can reach out to you and say, well, you know, we got a great team that's come in and they're real sharp and they're good with FISMA and they're good with FedRAMP, but, you know, they're not strong with COBOL. I mean, that expertise is not common.
It's not. It's more prevalent than you might think. However, clearly what we're doing is enabling the next generation of workforce, because clearly from an educational standpoint, they probably haven't been trained on COBOL. And frankly, that's okay. They have been trained on more modern development suites. And we work beautifully with those. As you make that migration over to the new platform, they can leverage those modern tool suites or development suites and work from there and be more productive than in the past.
Would there be any changes in how they manage your projects? Would there be any changes in maybe security requirements or maintenance making this transition?
Not really. Again, we're taking the application as is and forklifting it over to a new platform. Clearly, there are some factors that play into that. However, that's all mapped out in advance.
In management school, and there's a lot of graduate schools in town here that have MBA programs, and one of the big topics in an MBA program is if you can measure it, you can manage it. And we hear this in the science world. We hear this in the, you know, professional management world. And I guess we have to hear it more and more in the federal world, because I think my listeners are looking at applications they have. They're trying to measure them and try to see if it's worth making the change. So if I look around and at my system, and I'm a new young fella and replacing an old geezer, and I see there's a COBOL system here, and I maybe talk to Micro Focus, and I maybe get a hint and a clue. What metrics would I use for the next 12 months, 24 months? I mean, what would I use? I mean, how long should this take? Is it a vary with the system, security? I mean, how would I measure my success with making a migration like this?
Sure. Typically, what we see is three major metrics in order. Number one is risk. Number two is cost reduction. And number three is time to value. When do I get to production? How long does it take? Typically, in our application migrations, you're looking at anywhere between, on average, 9 to 12 months. So again, measuring in months as opposed to years.
So that's the first one for time to value. And would we have to take and make any essential changes to our business process, to our business rules in this transition?
Not at all, because again, the application is actually staying intact. The business rules, the business logic is not being changed in any way, shape, or form. Therefore, you can leverage all the great IP that's been collected and in production over the last several decades.
Okay, well, now I got to take the opposite view here, maybe just for the sake of debate or arguing. So let's say I have a COBOL system here that's running in a mainframe, and I'm happy with it. And I do my metrics, and I go, yeah, I'm kind of happy with it. And would there be situations, Todd, where you'd walk in and get out your little, you know, checklist and thoroughly review the application and say, this may not be a candidate, or it may be a candidate in 2 years when another transition in another part of the agency takes place?
Sure. There we have several customers that are committed to the mainframe and will remain so, and frankly, for very good reasons. The interesting part about our solution is you don't have to move it off the mainframe. You can move it to the IFL portion of the mainframe, the integrated facility for Linux, which is about 85 to 90% cheaper on average of running it on the traditional part of the mainframe.
And so does Micro Focus partner with any vendors like Microsoft or Oracle? Or what is your relationship with these different vendors in these organizations? Would they be competing with you? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how you'd get along with the other big players in this town.
So traditionally, we kind of look at it from the standpoint of what's the target platform and who those target platforms are manufactured by are traditionally our partners. So if we're moving it to a Microsoft platform, we are clearly a global partner with Microsoft. In fact, we have reference architectures that we will bring into play, best practices that we'll bring into play as part of that rigorous process we talked about before. So the same goes for Linux and Unix, and Solaris is a big player in the federal space. And again, and IBM. I think it's back to that notion of coopetition, where we clearly in some ways compete. However, we have to cooperate in others to sustain our customers, our mutual customers.
You and I both know a lot of people at Microsoft who are bright and aggressive and focused. And I know people at Oracle that are they're very aggressive and task-oriented and smart and all kinds of fancy-pants degrees. And maybe my Oracle rep is going to say, nah, Micro Focus, we can do the same thing Micro Focus can do. I like Oracle. I might as well stick with them. What's the risk in doing that?
Well, we're platform agnostic. So we have quite a bit more freedom and latitude in terms of what solutions we have to offer and where they will go in terms of landing platforms than some others are going to have. Again, we're going to go across all those different players and not just keep you within that one, in some cases, very proprietary platform. So the risk you run is, are you limiting yourself both now and in the future for what you're choosing to do in terms of, you know, additional functionality down the road?
It may be one of those Donald Rumsfeld, the unknown unknown or the known unknown, or you may not know the capability that Micro Focus can bring that Oracle is not even aware of, only because Micro Focus has been deeply embedded in, what, 18,000 customers. You had to learn something. I mean, you do something for 30 years with 18,000 people hanging with finance. I mean, you can't make mistakes every day.
Exactly. And that gets back to the rigorous process that we have. Over that period of time, we have learned so much on how to do these. Frankly, these migrations are coming without fail.
Without fail. Well, that's good because it's been there, done that. And I think the real challenge then would be funding for a transition and mandates that are funded and unfunded. Someone nudges you into the cloud without funding, you could almost justify your funding with the savings.
Absolutely. Again, getting back to the example we talked about earlier, there's a lot that you can do with $11.9 million per year simply by rehosting one application. Typically, we see scenarios where their application portfolio has anywhere between 25 and 40 different applications on a box.
Wow. When we get back, we'll talk more about Micro Focus, talk about making a transition from COBOL, maybe some competitive situations and unfunded mandates, and maybe talk about whether or not Todd is really a nerd. We can give him a little nerd test and find out what types of technology he prefers. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Todd Tompkins, Vice President of Sales, U.S. Federal Government for Micro Focus.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagenics.
Have you noticed it's getting darker earlier these days? Don't get concerned. Get Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security. Ackerman offers the latest in technology, including wireless monitoring and remote video. If you already have a system, you can switch to Ackerman's award-winning monitoring for just $18.95 a month. Just $18.95 a month. And it's free to switch. Call today and get 3 months of monitoring free. That's 888-999-1070 or online at AckermanSecurity.com.
Federal employees are generous people, donating tens of millions of dollars to charities every year through the combined federal campaign. And while it can be tough to choose which organization should benefit from your gift, there's only one that exclusively helps federal employees and their families: the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. For over 25 years, FEA, CFC number 11185, has helped feds recover from financial emergencies and natural disasters and provided their kids with college scholarships. FEA 11185 has been the best choice for feds who want to keep their CFC donation in the family by helping colleagues across the country and around the world as they do America's business every day. In the last 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. Making your pledge to FEA 11185 today will make sure help continues to be there no matter what the coming year brings for feds. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org. Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Are you a mid-career professional thinking about improving your digital skills? Or maybe you're trying to retool with a focus on using social networking? American University's online certificate in digital media skills allows you to work full-time while gaining digital media skills to advance in your career or reposition yourself in the job market. The digital future is here. Learn more about American University's graduate certificate in digital media skills at american.edu/SOC.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
So you blew it. You ate the donut. You slept in and skipped your workout. You had that second helping. Went a little overboard at the buffet. Hit the candy jar at the office a little too hard. You forgot to put safety first. You didn't eat your vegetables. You didn't even open that bottle of vitamins you bought. You accidentally left your gym bag at home. Your favorite machine was broken at the gym. Instead of your water bottle, you chugged a 2-liter of soda. You couldn't help yourself. You had a craving, or you simply couldn't resist. But you know what? It's okay. 2 steps forward and 1 step back is still 1 step forward. 1 slip-up isn't going to undo all that good work. So don't be afraid to embrace your setbacks and do whatever it takes to keep trying. At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the more you keep trying, the better chance you have to turn bad habits into good ones. Because we think it's never too late to thrive. Visit kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The 12th Annual Excellence in Partnership Awards is October 26th at the Crystal Gateway Marriott in Arlington, Virginia. The Excellence in Partnership Awards honor those who have excelled at promoting partnership in government procurement. A special tribute to Mythbusters for those who embody effective communication between government and industry. Come celebrate at this special event for the government contracting community and the Multiple Award Schedules program. Register now for the Excellence in Partnership Awards at eipawards.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Todd Tompkins, Vice President of Sales, U.S. Federal Government for Micro Focus. We've been talking about a technology called COBOL and migrating it to the cloud and maybe just changing it and some of the opportunities and savings in that area. But before we talk about the hard dollar savings, we got to lighten up a little bit and let's just pick on Todd here and find out if he's really a card-carrying nerd or not. I have my scientific 10-question tester famous for this nerdometer test. And the first question, Todd, no cheating, is the year of your first computer.
That would have had to have been fourth grade.
And the year of your first computer. Let's hear the year. It could be 1954 for me.
That would have been probably 1970, probably 2.
72, really? Wow, you're getting some nerd points here. That's really...
TRS-80.
Trash 80, yeah. That was maybe later than 72, but a trash 80. The year of your first cell phone.
Oh, 1980, probably 2.
Another early adopter. Very, very early. That's back when they weighed 8 pounds. And the operating system on your machines at home?
Microsoft.
Microsoft. Loose points. And your home connection, any fancy connection, just regular Fios cable?
Just regular Fios.
Regular. And a type of mobile phone you use?
iPhone.
iPhone. And number of applications?
Ooh, about 31.
That's not much. It's okay. Tablet device, what flavor you got?
We just got a brand new one.
And that is?
I don't even know because my wife bought it.
You lose nerd points. You're going down the drain on that question, buddy. You're down the drain. The social networking sites you participate in?
Oh, quite a few. Let's see. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter.
And if you want to link in, it's TOD, Todd Tompkins for LinkedIn. Twitter, Facebook, all kinds. And the last book you read, was electronic or was it paper?
I lose points again here, paper.
Well, you start off so strong, you know? The early Trash 80 really gave you a lot of the gold star on your forehead with the Trash 80. And you move to the iPhone, which is strong, you know? Windows at home, weak. We're going to put you in the middle of the pack here. We're going to very discreetly not give you an outstanding student here, but middle of the pack for nerdiness. So not that strong, but not weak. The early adopter, that's pretty strong. Now from the frivolous topic to something more serious, it's the show me the money minute here. It's show me the money. And a lot of people are listening going, yeah, that's a silly interview, John. I want to hear about the money. Talk about the money. How can you guys save me money? I mean, I don't care about Micro Focus. I don't care about those 18,000 customers. I care about my agency, me. So let's talk about hard cost savings with the transition away from COBOL or migrating COBOL.
Well, John, the interesting part to note up front is we are talking, in fact, about hard cost savings. The single biggest question we get early on is, how do I know that I'm going to realize the cost savings that you all are talking about? So first off, we would suggest again that you go out and talk to your government colleagues that have done this. They will give you their numbers. The numbers we cited earlier were government numbers, not ours. So from that perspective, the way we achieve that is we are literally lining out line items on the budget. So we're not moving costs around. We're not shifting it to a different category. You are literally lining budget items off the books. So that's how we achieve the cost savings.
So let's go back to the transition of downsizing. If my wife and I move to a smaller house, it's not like we take the 1982 ceramic turkey and move it to the new house. We trash that thing. I mean, it's out of here. I want to keep that stupid turkey that we got as a gift 25 years ago or something. And so that's, I think there are agencies and human beings who operate their house finances that way, move something from here to there. And the agency, you can move something from here to there. But this is real world bottom line savings.
It is. And one of the beautiful parts of this solution is that it gives you flexibility in terms of what things you move over from the old house to the new house. For instance, with that amount of savings, you can literally decide, you know what? I'm going to move these number of applications to save me X dollars rather than reducing headcount. It's literally that simple. The other interesting piece is there is downline ripple effect. For instance, we work with one of the DLA agencies, or I'm sorry, one of the OSD agencies that were operating with logistics. They moved it off the mainframe to a server farm. They liked it so much that they decided they could deploy this in theater overseas and found another series of cost savings. And then what that eventually turned into is reducing the number of convoys in theater, which frankly correlated directly to the number of lost lives, because that is a convoy is a risk to personnel. So you can't help but be excited and proud to be involved in those types of programs that are literally not only reducing cost, but also in some cases saving lives.
In the world of software development, they talk about core competencies, and it's a word that's tossed around a whole lot. What is this developer's core competencies? But when it comes to COBOL, it's really the nitty gritty, the nuts and bolts of many agencies. It's a core capability for the agency, and improving the efficiency of that core capability has got to have ramifications, just like you talked about, in many areas, unexpected savings because it has so many ripple effects.
Absolutely. So there are quite a few examples of that, and I think to Postal, as they redo their whole business model and move to their new platform, there were several different series of unintended consequences that turned out in a very positive manner. So with that, and when you throw that on top of the hard cost savings that they incur, it's just been a tremendously positive experience in my time at Micro Focus.
And U.S. Postal Service, they talk about $6 million a year savings for starts. That's a figure that I think they published. Is that right?
Absolutely. So they moved from a part of the mainframe that was a little more expensive, moved to the less expensive part of the mainframe, and next thing you know, they are reducing their cost dramatically pretty much overnight.
Let's get out the crystal ball here, and let's look at some initiatives on the horizon that the government might have to increase performance without limiting costs, which is essentially what the post office did.
Absolutely. We touch on quite a few of government initiatives. First off, it offers transparency and accessibility that President Obama talks about so plainly. Number two is, if you move down to the IT level, you are addressing things like data center consolidation, green IT. You're enabling new generations of workforces. Those types of things become impacted. And frankly, the interesting part about this is more and more CFOs are becoming interested and directly engaged in the conversations to make these kind of moves. So as they see the cost savings, it's being more driven from the CFO to the CIO and then down the chain than it had been in the past.
I think that's an interesting transition here, is looking at some of the applications that run COBOL have, you know, primarily maybe in the finance area, and the CFO all of a sudden now his ears kind of pick up and look at savings and wonder what else they can do. And that's the question the next 3 or 4 years in the federal government. Where is Micro Focus going to be focusing its attention, and are there new areas it's going to look at? Or tell me more about what's going to happen the next 5 years with your company.
So there are a couple things out on the horizon. Number one is we're going to continue to really leverage the core business that we have in terms of making those migrations, because that ramp is only increasing by the day. So it's going to be quite a while before we can fully address that market opportunity. Number two is there is a whole different development division of our company that will allow things like agile software development that do the development and testing at a much lower cost. So as we move into those sorts of areas, we're offering things like visual COBOL that leverage the new skill sets of the younger employees out there and allow them to really drive development to a new level.
It's interesting that many of the newer software developers, you hit them, they're familiar with agile processes and Scrum and Lean, and they just expect that's going to be part of the workplace. And any way they can take and use that flexible software development in area of big iron or larger projects can only benefit everybody.
Absolutely. We're clearly in line with all those different technologies and methodologies, so we can help our clients leverage those to increase the functionality of their application over time.
So we're taking kind of an old school topic, COBOL, and we've applied something that everyone's interested in, saving money. And so if you want to get more information on this, you can go to microfocusfed.com, and you can get more information on the company, and you can input ideas on how you think your agency might be able to save money on software development. Is that right?
Absolutely. And what we've done up on the website is to really drive some social media forums to really engage the community, both not only the government community, but also the industry as well, to drive dialogue around new ways to save money, hard cost savings for the government, and really to learn more about how they can do it for themselves within the confines of their own agencies.
Great. Thanks, Todd. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Todd Tompkins, Vice President of Sales, U.S. Federal Government, for Micro Focus. Thanks, Todd.
John, thank you so much for having me today. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now. From fiddle and foresters to dolphin trainers, federal employees have some pretty cool jobs. Check out our Cool Jobs in Government series at federalnewsradio.com, search term cool jobs.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story, Rick Perry wants to give Americans a choice on their taxes. The Republican presidential candidate outlined...